And we are back. Welcome back to another episode of the Deep Press Cincinnati Sports Fan Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse. On this podcast, we're going to recap the Cincinnati Bearcats men's basketball week. And also, we're going to talk about the AFC and NFC championship game recap from last week. Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. That is your Super Bowl matchup for next week. And then also, we're going to talk about UC football. They added a new defensive coordinator this week. I am so happy, as you can tell. But let's first start off with the Cincinnati Bearcats men's basketball team. So last week, UC took on the UCF Knights on Saturday night at Fifth Third Arena. The Bearcats trailed that game 39-27. UC got off to a great start. They were up, I believe, 14-4, and their defense was playing well. The crowd was going wild. It was such a good start. Then, for some reason, the offense just went to poop, and UCF just kept hitting shots, and UC's defense wasn't playing good, and it just felt like UCF was going to come into town and beat the Bearcats at home, and it was going to be a bad loss, and UC's tournament hopes were going to fade. So they're down by 12 points, like I said, at halftime. And then the second half, UC's offense decided, you know what? I guess we need to start putting the ball into the basket. And they did. UC scored 41 points. 41 points in the second half. They only scored 27 in the first half. And they went into an offensive explosion in half number two. UCF only scored 18 points. So, I believe head coach Wes Miller and company said, okay, guys, we need to play better defense and we need to guard the three-point line. And they pretty much did that. And UCF's best players was Sellers and Avery. Both of them were on fire in the first half. In the second half, UC pretty much locked them down. And that's pretty much the reason why the Bearcats won the game in the second half. UC was led by Dan Skillings Jr., who on this game, it was his birthday, his 21st birthday, and he scored 21 points. He was 8 for 14 from the field. He was 2 for 6 from the three-point line, and he was 3 for 3 from the free throw line as well. Amazing, because UC is not really a good free throw line, as I already advertised a lot on this podcast during the season. John Newman III had 19 points, 6 of 10 from the field. He was 7 of 9 from the free throw line. He had 7 rebounds. And this guy had a posterizing dunk on a UCF player that gave UC new life, that gave the crowd just absolute energized. They were going crazy. I was like, whoa. Probably the dunk of the year right now for the Bearcats. And at that time, UC tied the game at 52. And then UC went on a 16-7 run to end the game right there. So that dunk pretty much sealed it for UC and pretty much gave the momentum throughout the whole game. Let's see other stats. Badengo was 27 minutes. He had 8 points, 7 rebounds. Lakosius only had 7 points. Dede Thomas had 9 points. Lakosius played 34 minutes. Dede played 31 minutes. Badengo played 27 minutes. Victor Locken did not play because last week there was a little stomach bug going around the team. And I believe he caught the worst of it. So he did try to get he wanted to play in this game. And during shoot around, Wes Miller was like, are you good to go? And Vic said that he wasn't still feeling good. So I think that was a good thing that Victor Locken did not play in this game last Saturday. So shout out to Dan Skillings on his birthday. Dan Skillings is a really good player. He's a definitely a potential emerging star in the Big 12 Conference. It's just Dan needs to be more consistent. And I was hoping that this game was going to lead for him to just continue to be the alpha, to be the guy that UC needs to go to on offense. Because this team, they don't really have that type of player where you know, okay, he's going to get the bucket. he's going to be the guy that's going to stop the offensive drought, and he's going to go to the basket and get points for this team. It's just been really inconsistent. One night's John Newman III, one night's Dan Skillings Jr., and then the other night's like, oh my gosh, offense is just hard to come by with this team. So this was a good win for the Bearcats. UCF is a team that plays really, really good defense, and also UCF is coming off wins against Texas, at Texas, and also they beat Kansas when Kansas was number 3 at the time a couple of weeks ago. So, good win for the Bearcats there last Saturday night at home against the Knights. Now, let's switch to Wednesday as UC took on the West Virginia Mountaineers at Morgantown. This was a game UC had to win. They had to win this game because West Virginia came into the game 7-13 and 2-5 in conference play. I know West Virginia beat Kansas at home a couple of weeks ago, scoring 91 points. I know that this game was going to be a close game, obviously. So, to start the game, both teams could not even shoot the basket. It just felt like an old Big East type of rock fight type of game. UC just kept shooting threes, and I just don't know why this team continues to shoot the three ball. It's absolutely getting ridiculous. This team shot 32 three-point attempts in this game. When you know you can't shoot the three, just please go to the basket or have some type of post-up game. But for some reason, this team just thinks that they want to be the Golden State Warriors at their peak and just continue to chuck up three-pointers. Makes no sense. I was getting so frustrated. And I understand that they got good looks, but you were missing them. And I think West Virginia was just like, okay, we'll leave you open because you know we know you're not going to make it. And they just continued to clank it off the backboard. It was just unbelievable. So UC had a 27-23 lead at halftime. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, we have played really bad on offense. But we're up 4, okay? We allowed 23 points to West Virginia, the lowest half performance when it comes to points all season. So I'm feeling good about the defense playing well. Rebounding was okay in this game. And in the second half, West Virginia came out and just went on an offensive just spurt. And they were making their shots. And then UC started making their shots as well. So both teams were finding rhythm on the offensive side. Then UC had a 60-50 lead, okay, with about 6 minutes left of the game. 60-50, guys. If you're telling me that UC had a 10-point lead on the road with 6 minutes left, knowing that they need to have this game because looming ahead is 3 murderous games, I'm like, okay, this team's going to win. For sure, right? Absolutely. That was not the case. UC only scored 5 points the last 6 minutes of the game. And West Virginia went on a 19-5 run to end the game. UC lost to West Virginia, guys, 69-65. You only scored 5 points the last 6 minutes of the game. And you know what was so... what made me want to throw up is that UC did not attempt a 2-point shot the last 6 minutes of the game. They just kept chucking threes. They just kept doing that. And UC was down by 2, and Victor Locken played in this game, ladies and gentlemen. And I do not want to bash college kids at all, but they're grown adults, okay? They're grown. But this guy played 18 minutes, and scored 0 points. He was 0 for 5 from the field, 0 for 4 from the three-point line. And Victor Larkin's last three-point attempt, UC was coming out of timeout. You're down by 2 points. You're down by 2 points. You need a two-point shot, right? You need a two-point shot. You don't need a three at that situation. You drew up a play for Victor Larkin to attempt a three-pointer? When I saw that, I'm sorry. I'm usually calm during games. I literally just slam my hand into the backboard and be like, what are we doing? Really? A Victor Larkin three-point attempt. Knowing this man has 0 points in 18 minutes. And then UC had a shot to tie the game. And then Dede Thomas did not even hit the rim. He hit the backboard. This team did not attempt a two-point attempt over the last six games, over the last 6 minutes of the game. Like, what are we doing, guys? Seriously. I don't understand why, out of timeouts, when it comes to that, Wes Miller, he's very questionable. And I'm not trying to bash him, but he was terrible, guys. He got outcoached the last 6 minutes of the game. Absolutely unacceptable. You do not lose a 10-point lead against the West Virginia Mountaineers. And I'm not disrespecting them. They're a Big 12 team, and they're going to play competitively. But this is a game that UC, you needed to win this game. You had a double-digit lead on the road, and you only scored 5 points over the last 6 minutes of the game. 5 points. And if you look at a box score right now, UC couldn't stop West Virginia's big man, Jesse Edwards. I mean, he has a good first name, but I don't like him in this game. This guy was 11 for 17 from the field. He had 25 points and 10 rebounds and 4 blocks. UC had no answer for him, especially in the second half. Oh, my goodness. Like, West Virginia had 4 players that scored over 10 points. UC only had 2 in Dede Thomas and Seamus Lukosius, or 3. Dan Skillings had 15 points coming off the bench. Dan played 30 minutes. Victor Larkin had 0 points. And I feel like Victor Larkin is still not feeling healthy. I still think he's still in recovery from his sickness. But I'm sorry. You only scored 0 points in 18 minutes. I don't care if you're sick or not. Like, really? And the fact that this man continues to take three-point attempts is ridiculous. I know he can shoot a little bit. But, my guy, you need to use your size, please. 0 points, 4 turnovers, 3 personal fouls in 18 minutes? Vic. Oh, my goodness. And then, as you see, as my laptop continues to just talk to me, and just continue to, I need to just put the volume down. I'm over here struggling. I'm looking at the box score. Let's see, Aziz Badengo had 4 points, 2 blocks, 9 rebounds. Played 27 minutes. He had 5 personal fouls. Aziz did not play really good in this game. John Newman III got hit in the kidney area late in the game. And he left the game, but he was in the handshake line after the game. So that's good news. But he was on the ground for a while. I was like, oh no, John Newman's having such a great senior year. This man has overcome injuries and at his time in college. The last thing that man needs is another injury. So I hope that John Newman III is going to be okay and that he'll be hopefully ready to play on Saturday. UC was 9 for 32 from the three-point line, 28.1%. And if you look at the foul difference between both teams, West Virginia had 28 free throw attempts. They were 57.1%. That looked like UC numbers. UC was 6 of 8 from the free throw line. They only had 8 free throw attempts. UC was in the bonus in the second half, I believe 8 minutes into it. I'm not going to blame officials for the game, but they were just blowing their whistle all freaking game, and it was pretty much against UC. But that's not the reason why the Bearcats lost the game. You do not blow a 10-point lead. You cannot blow a 10-point lead with 6 minutes left, knowing that you need to win this game. You blow a 10-point lead like that, you don't deserve to make the NCAA tournament. And UC's NCAA tournament hopes, it went from being 70-30. Now, I believe now it's like a 5% chance. You look at the remaining next 3 games for the Bearcats. Saturday night, they go to Texas Tech. Texas Tech is coming off a loss to TCU, so they're going to be mad. And then next Saturday, UC hosts number 4 Houston. Houston's probably the most consistent team in the Big 12 Conference this year. And then on the 13th, UC will host number 12 Iowa State, who's had some really good wins in conference play this year. So you play the number 15 team in the country, you play the number 4 team in the country, and then you play the number 12 team in the country. 3 straight games coming up. Good luck. That's why this loss to West Virginia pretty much killed UC's chances of making the NCAA tournament. If somehow UC can get 2 out of 3 from this 3-game gauntlet, then okay. I just don't see that happening. This team is so inconsistent. They could be staring at 3-8 in Big 12 play before their next game, which will be at UCF on the 17th. They could be 3-8 in Big 12 play heading into that game. I don't want to be a negative Nancy, but that West Virginia loss is going to sting for this team. And we'll see what Bearcat team is going to be out there on the floor on Saturday night at Lubbock, Texas. We will see. You can't lose a game to that West Virginia team like that. I'm sorry, but you cannot be considered a bubble team. And the committee looks at UC's resume, and they look, okay, they lost to Xavier. Okay, Xavier is playing decently lately. They lost to Dayton. Dayton's ranked. They lost, leading up to the West Virginia game, 4 games in a Big 12 play against good teams, teams that likely are going to make the NCAA tournament. But then they're going to look at the West Virginia game and how this team blew a 10-point lead on the road with 6 minutes left. And you want to consider this team an NCAA tournament team? Yeah, not happening. Not happening at all. I'm going to still watch the games no matter what because I'm a fan. But good luck, UC. Good luck these next 3 games because they're staring at 3-8 in Big 12 play. But they could surprise me. This team has been surprising me all season long. I expect nothing will surprise me. Nothing will surprise me with this team, honestly. But this task that they have in order these next 3 games, it's impossible. It's going to be impossible for this team. I hope they play competitively. I hope they don't get blown out in these games. But I don't think they're going to get wins in this next 3 game stretch. I hope I'm wrong. I really am. I hope they prove me wrong. But what I saw Wednesday night against West Virginia, that's not an NCAA tournament team. So UC is probably staring at another trip to the NIT. Yay. So happy. But I'm still watching this team. This team is a fun team that doesn't give up. But that loss stings. It really does. It really does. And it's going to sting for this team until they go back out in the court Saturday night against Texas Tech. We'll see if they have any fight in them, which I believe they will, but Red Raiders lost to TCU, so they want to get their wounds out there and just play well in front of their home crowd and get a W as well. So I don't know, guys. We'll see. All right, moving on. So last week was the championship games for the NFL. And the Baltimore Ravens took on the Kansas City Chiefs. The Ravens hosted the Chiefs in the AFC title game. And in typical Baltimore Ravens fashion lately, they choked. The Chiefs beat the Ravens 17-10. And the Chiefs are moving on to the Super Bowl. It's the Chiefs' fourth Super Bowl appearance in 5 years. And the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson, when it comes to playing good teams in the playoffs, they always fold. Oh, I said in the podcast last week that I was rooting on for the Chiefs, as much as that pains me. But Ravens fans, they just needed to get humbled. And I know Baltimore was a really good team all regular season. They were beating on teams really badly. But I was thinking to myself, okay, that's good and all, but all that stuff doesn't matter until you hit the postseason. And yes, you beat the Houston Texans, but you beat a young, inexperienced Houston Texans team. It's about when you play against the elite teams in the playoffs, and you're playing against the defending Super Bowl champs in the Kansas City Chiefs. And I just had a feeling like Lamar Jackson and company was not going to do it. They're not going to win again. They're not going to win this game. And the Chiefs went right down the field and scored in their opening drive of the game. And the Chiefs defense, that has been an underrated defense all season long, really controlled the Baltimore Ravens offense. And Baltimore, they were known for running the football all year. They didn't run the football a lot in this game. And Lamar Jackson had turnovers. Zay Flowers, this guy got a taunting penalty called on him. And then he had a touchdown, and then he fumbled it before he crossed the end zone. It wasn't Baltimore Ravens' game. It wasn't meant to be for them. And I just had a feeling the Chiefs were going to win that game. I just had a feeling. So to all the Ravens fans that were talking all the smack to Bengals fans, and that night when the Ravens hosted the Bengals on Thursday Night Football, and when Joe Burrow got hurt, and then during the postgame show, you can hear Baltimore Ravens fans saying, F Joe Burrow. When I heard that, I was like, okay, all right. I'm like, karma's going to come back to bite them. And you know what? It did in this game. So, great regular season, Ravens. You can hang up your regular season banner. You can hang up your AFC North Championship banner. You can hang up your, oh, we get a first round bye banner, the number one seed banner. It don't matter because you didn't win the Super Bowl. And you're saying that, oh, where are the Bengals at? Well, do you get participation trophies in making the playoffs? No. You didn't win the Super Bowl. You didn't even get to the Super Bowl. You lost the AFC Championship game at your home field where you've been really, really, really dominant all season long. And Lamar Jackson's a great quarterback, but when it comes to playing in the playoffs against elite teams, this guy is not a good quarterback. He pretty much chokes. Definitely think he's a top five quarterback in the league. But I don't want to hear anything about him being like the best quarterback in the NFL or him being the best quarterback in the AFC North. No, that's Joe. And that's not me being biased because I'm a Bengals fan. So, I'm sorry, Lamar Jackson's not clutch in the playoffs. He's not. Only two playoff wins. And he's 2-5 in the playoffs, I believe, right now. 2-5. But Ravens fans will always hang their hat on, we have a Super Bowl. Yeah. 11 years ago. Nobody cares about the past. We care about the present right now. You guys only have two playoff wins. Two playoff wins in 11 years. And this was your best chance to win the Super Bowl this year. It really was. Everything was favoring you guys. Everything. Yes, even I said the Ravens team was different. But also, in the back of my mind, I still think about the Ravens getting their butts whooped in 2019 in the division round against the Tennessee Titans. That year, you guys were the one seed, right? Back of my mind was thinking Lamar Jackson against good teams in the playoffs, he always folds. That was still in the back of my mind. And then the way the Chiefs beat the Bills in the divisional round in Buffalo, I just had a feeling the Chiefs were going to beat the Ravens, and they did. So, sorry, Ravens fans. This was your best shot to win the Super Bowl. It was. And you'll be saying, oh, we'll be back next year, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, Joe Burrow is going to be healthy next year. Knock on wood. Ravens fans were so quiet, and I loved it. I really do. There's a couple of Ravens fans that are my friends. And I'm like, remember all that shit you were talking to me? And then all the smack talking, you're talking about Joe Burrow and the Bengals. And I'm like, do you have anything else to say? And you know what they said? They were like, nope, we deserve this. We deserve this. We have nothing to say. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you for being a real fan and actually admitting that, you know what? Yeah, we choked. Speaking of choking, the NFC Championship game between the Detroit Lions and the San Francisco 49ers. Lions fans, you guys deserve a moment of silence. And I'm going to give that to you guys right now. So let's have a moment of silence for Detroit Lions fans, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, that was a very long moment of silence because Detroit Lions fans, you guys needed that. The NFC title game for them, it was a dream start for the Lions. They get the ball to begin the game, and in three plays, they're already up 7-0. And then they go up 14-0. And then they go up 21-7. And then in halftime, Detroit's up 24-7. 24-7. In the NFC title game. 24-7. If I was a Lions fan, I'm thinking to myself, holy moly, we might be going to the Super Bowl. And I say might because in the back of your mind, you're thinking, the San Francisco 49ers, they have all this pride. They were not going to just let this be an easy victory for the Lions. They were gonna play in the second half, and they were going to be like, okay, you know what? We're going to play better, and we're going to make this a game. And that's what the Niners did in the second half. They knew that their pride was on the line. And as a fan watching this game, I was like, I knew that the Niners were going to make their run, but I didn't think that the Lions were going to have an all-time championship game meltdown like they did in this one. 24-10, the Lions were moving the ball. I believe it was 4th-and-2. And head coach Dan Campbell and company, they've been known as a team all year. They've been going for it and 4th-down. And they've been really successful this year when it comes to going for it. That's just who the Detroit Lions are all season. So when they didn't get this 4th-down conversion at that moment in the game when they're up 14, I'm thinking to myself, okay, fine. But I would have kicked the field goal because you'll be down by 17. No, you'll be up by 17 points. You will have a 3-possession lead. So they didn't get that. I'm like, okay, I guess that's fine. And then Brandon Ayuk had probably the luckiest catch in the world where it bounced off of the Lions defender's face mask into the hands of Ayuk. He caught it. In that moment, I'm thinking to myself, the Lions aren't going to win this game. They're not. And then the Niners tied the game at 24. And then they took the lead with a field goal in the fourth quarter at 27-24. And then the Lions were faced with another fourth down situation. Down three. You're down by three. I believe this happened towards the 8-minute mark of the fourth quarter. You're down by three. It's fourth and three. All the momentum is on the San Francisco 49ers side. At that moment, I think you kick the field goal because you need to stop the momentum of the San Francisco 49ers. Kick the field goal, you're tied at 27. Instead, Campbell and company went for it, and Jared Goff threw the ball, and it went incomplete. And that was pretty much it for the Lions. The Lions gave the ball back to the San Francisco 49ers, and the Niners scored a touchdown to make it 34-24. And then the Lions, needing a touchdown with 2 minutes left of the game, driving the football, down by 10. I believe this was first and goal, second and goal from the 5-yard line. You have all three timeouts, right? You have all three timeouts. You're obviously going to be throwing the football, right? They elected to run the football with David Montgomery. They didn't get the touchdown, obviously, but they wasted clock. No, they called a timeout. I don't know what was Dan Campbell thinking at that moment. Why are you running the football? You have three timeouts. You have three timeouts. Under a minute left, you throw the football. If you don't get the touchdown, at least you're going to kick a field goal. And then you're going to kick the ball off. You have three timeouts, right? And then if you stop the Niners, you're going to get the ball back with at least, I don't know, 30-something seconds left to at least have a shot at a Hail Mary attempt. But you run the football at that moment, and then you have to burn a timeout. That's pretty much game because you have to kick the onside kick. I didn't understand that play call at all. It's some of the... Yeah, you can blame coaching in this game for the Lions, but some of the players dropped balls. And then I believe it was it Montgomery or Gibbs that fumbled it. Either way, they fumbled it and gave the Niners great field position. And then the Niners scored with a touchdown with CMC to tie the game at 24. The Niners scored 27 unanswered points in the second half. 27 unanswered. Oh, man. What a gut-wrenching loss for the Detroit Lions and their fans. What a special season. The way it ended, it's going to take a long time for them to heal. And once training camp begins for them, I hope that Lions fans are going to just move on. You can't forget, but you can move on and get ready for next year. I think the Lions will be back in this position next year, but they got to get home field advantage at Ford Field. But I don't think it matters because they should have won this game. You were up 17 points in a sec. You were up by 17 at halftime. It was just some of the decision makings in the second half and costly plays by their players that cost them this game. Oof. It's going to be okay, Lions fans. It's going to be okay. So congratulations to the San Francisco 49ers and Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy played a really good game in the second half, so he deserved his flowers. So congrats to the Niners on making it back to the Super Bowl. And the Chiefs and Niners. This is a rematch of the Super Bowl back in 2018, which was won by the Chiefs. The Chiefs overcame a double-digit deficit in that game. So obviously, the Niners are looking for their get-back revenge. Who would I want to win this game? Obviously, I want the Niners to win, but I just have a feeling that the Chiefs are going to win another Lombardi. They're going to go back to back. That pains me to say that. So we'll have a preview of the Super Bowl in next week's podcast. But right now, I'm leaning towards the Kansas City Chiefs. And that pains me to say that. Ugh. All right. So, like I said earlier in the podcast, the Cincinnati Bearcats football team introduced a new member of their staff on Monday, welcoming in Tyson Vettit as his new role as the Bearcats' new defensive coordinator. Vettit comes to the Bearcats football coaching staff from Iowa State, where he served as the associate head coach and linebackers coach for the last 8 seasons. So Vettit joined Iowa State as part of Matt Campbell's staff in 2016. The Cyclones led the Big 12 in numerous categories, including scoring defense, total defense, and opponent yards per game. Vettit was named the National Linebacker Coach of the Year by Football Scope in 2017. Vettit helped coach 41 all-conference defenders since arriving in Ames, Iowa, with nine linebackers receiving all Big 12 honors in his tenure. So this is a good pickup for the Bearcats football team. As you know, UC's defense was really bad last year, but overall last year, UC football was atrocious. UC's defense allowed 30 points per game in the team's first year in the Big 12. 30 points per game allowed last year. So I hope that getting this new defensive coordinator from Iowa State will help UC's defense to be more better than it was last year. And this was what Vettit said when he was introduced as the new defensive coordinator on Monday. He said, in quote, "Obviously, Coach Satterfield had great success everywhere he's been. I knew of him, did not know him, but that was certainly exciting to me. Then the opportunity here at the University of Cincinnati, I think, is a place that speaks for itself with the history and the tradition that's happened here. And obviously, the potential to be now in the Big 12 and take the program to another level, it was also very exciting," end quote. Yeah, you guys have known this for a long time. I'm not the biggest Scott Satterfield fan. I think it's a bad hire. And the Bearcats went 3-9 and 1-8 in Big 12 play in his first season. Still think he's not the guy. Still think the Bearcats need to get rid of him, but that's not going to happen anytime soon. But I think this is a good pickup for the team. And I hope that Vettit does a good job in improving this defense and that the Bearcats can at least be a competitive team on the football field in 2024. I really want that because last season was very, very heartbreaking to watch because I knew last season wasn't going to be a good year, but some of the games, I'm thinking to myself, what am I doing to myself? I feel bad for the kids, but it's like, this is what the university did. They choose a coach, and they just pretty much choose a coach out of, like, the blue and saying, hey, you want to coach this team? Like, wish they would have taken the time in a head coaching search last season. I really wish they did, but they didn't. All right, that's pretty much it for this podcast. I appreciate you guys always listening to this podcast. So if you guys are listening on Spotify, turn on your post notifications when a new podcast episode hits. And I appreciate all my loyal followers since day zero. And also I appreciate my recently new followers. You guys are also appreciated as well. You guys have a great weekend. I will talk to you guys next week. And if anything happens during the Bengals offseason or anything, there will be an emergency podcast. I just have a feeling that something's going to break and I have to do an emergency podcast like right off the bat. I have to if something happens. It happened when they announced Joe Burrow's big contract. So anything can happen, guys. If you see that Jesse has like a 5 to 10 minute podcast, that means something big has happened. So I just have a feeling that's going to happen during the offseason. So look forward to that. Turn on your post notifications. Turn them on. Love you guys. Have a great weekend, and I'm out. Peace.